not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Don't be transformed to this world. The world is aeon. It cuts across everything. It means all thoughts, all customs, all value systems, all political systems, all religious or secular, moral or immoral, good or evil, by the current standards which are current at any time or in any place in the world system. There is no time, there's no place, there's no good, there's no evil, there's no right, there's no wrong that a believer is to be conformed to. We are hid with Him. We are hid with God in Christ outside of time and space. And it's only when you've seen the vanity of all these political systems that you can begin to hear the Word of God. It's only when all political systems have failed you, all religious systems have failed you, all philosophical systems have failed you, or you have failed them, either way it's the same result, that you can begin to hear the Word of God. Otherwise, you'll have a program. As we said the other Thursday night, it took Paul 21 years to get rid of his programs from the time he was called. It took Moses 40 years to get rid of his programs. It took Jacob 21 years of being persecuted by Laban to be rid of his programs, and then he had to be chased by Esau for a while. It took Jesus 18 years to get rid of his programs. They speak of the world, therefore the world heareth them. He that is of God heareth us. How can he be of God? When you give no breath, positive or negative, to the world system. When you give no breath, positive or negative, to your own agendas. How can you tell whether you give it importance or not? There's only one way. You can say, oh, I don't care, I don't give that any importance. There's only one way, and that's by abiding. That's why only those that endure shall be saved. Only those that abide shall continue. Because it's in the waiting that your love is tested. Eye has not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on Him. You realize that this, on this block, this few little houses and people on this block, it's the only place in the world that I know of where there's no agenda. If I knew of any other place in the universe where there was no agenda, I would stop teaching tonight. Find me a place where there's no agenda. And that's the test of whether or not you're about your Father's business. We're on a journey. We're on a journey from the world to the mercy seat. You're called out of the world by the process of being born again, but if you stay only born again, if you stay only redeemed as an isolated self, then by definition you've left your heart in Babylon. You become concerned with whether or not you're saved. And you become concerned with who's going to heaven. Because all philosophies and all discussion and all activities of your mind have to do with the isolated self. But we are called out both from the world and from Babylon to the New Jerusalem, to Israel. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. Can you believe how ludicrous it is? I tried to think about today whether I was going to heaven or hell. I spent like an hour trying to think about that.
I wish they could have watched that.
Yeah, I would like to have been there.
I got the Daryl look. Have you ever seen the Daryl look?
You make a face.
Shut up. I got the Daryl look.
He's taking some hits here.
Yeah. You get the Daryl look, you get the scrunched up look, and I got the Tilton look.
That fart look.
That fart look.
There's an incredible scripture that says that you were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. Another one says that you were chosen and called from before your mother's womb. Now, if you can cut across all of the activities and all of the things that have happened to in your lifetime, and come to a point that says that you were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world, what things then are important in your life? What things are you to give importance to? There, if you knew that you were chosen from before the foundation of the world, that would mean that automatically you would place, and you would place salt in this offering. Remember the idea that you are to present your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But, again, Paul is saying, I write unto you that know the law. The law says the sacrifice is without value unless the sacrifice has been salted. The sacrifice cannot be accepted by God unless there's salt in the sacrifice. Your presenting of yourself isn't acceptable unless there's the salt. And the salt is the component of eternity within your life. The component of life that says and that certifies and that knows and that filters everything that happens to you through the eyes of eternity. What's concerning you now? Filter it through the eyes of eternity and find out if it has any concern. Filter it through the eyes that you were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the universe and find out whether or not that concern has any merit. Is it worth giving any importance to? That's the vehicle by which you're transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. There's a thing happening with ABC News. Barbara and Lee and Doug were in the office and they heard this exchange happen. This senior producer from ABC News is begging us to let them do a story on us. And I'm saying, I don't think I can.
I had to really search my mind. I had to really
I'll call you. I have to see if there's any moral implications.
Spend the weekend in my prayer closet,
and I'll get back to you Monday.
And you can almost hear her going.
And she's saying stuff like, "Well, Don't you? I mean, we are really, we're the best there is in the business. We've exposed this, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. And I said, listen, I know. I said, if there was anybody else in the universe that I'd give this stuff to you, it would be to Ted Koppel. And she says, oh, Ted Koppel, he's right down, he's just down the hall. He's my good friend. Anything that comes to us, we'll go to him. And I'm saying, I would give my right foot to be a Nightline. And here I am telling these. But what happened is it got filtered through the component of eternity. Mm-hmm. I don't care anymore. I don't care about those guys. Once I look at eternity, I don't care about money. Once I look at eternity, I don't care about crack cocaine dealers. Once I look at eternity, and when you look at eternity and look through the eyes of eternity, then you can begin this process of having the mind of Christ. We can begin to look at life from the top down instead of the bottom up. And we can do these things. We can, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. You truly have the mind of Christ. You're not conformed to this world. Automatically, because there's the component of you were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. So what can concern you? Rick doesn't have a job. You were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. What can concern you? What is your need? Look at it through the eyes of eternity, and you will have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is the goal of time and space, so therefore, if you have the mind of Christ, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. I can no longer even think in terms of the world. It makes no sense. I tried for a half hour to try to figure out whether I cared whether I went to heaven or hell. It made no sense. The only thing I'd end up caring about is whether or not I was with you. I can't even conceive of salvation unless it includes you as the process, as the part of it. What good, what meaning would it be to sell whether I'm going to heaven? I could care less whether I'm going to heaven unless you're there. I only care about me in relationship to you. That's the mind of Christ. Therefore, I am fulfilled as I fulfill others. What happens to me is unimportant, even to the extent of whether or not I go to heaven or hell. Who cares? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transfigured.
It's raining.
Good.
I prayed for rain.
Good.
I'm glad.
Now you are perfect. Hear me. Tonight, this night, you are complete. You are perfect. You are holy. You are forgiven. You are accepted in the brethren. You are one with God. You are one with the brethren. You are seated with Him in the heavenlies. All things exist for your purpose. You own all things. All power in heaven and earth has been delivered over to you. All enemies are defeated. For as He is in this world, so are we. Now we rest. But this does you absolutely no good unless you apprehend it. When you were in the world or in Egypt, you didn't care about any of this. All your energies were to get to the land of Goshen. Land of Goshen. All your energies were to get right here, the land of Goshen, the best that the world has to offer. the best by whatever your definition is. For you, the best the world had to offer may be to be Mother Teresa. You understand? But it's still a definition of something in the world. Whatever the best the world was, according to your definition, that's the land of Goshen. All your energies were to get there. You had dreams, you had ambitions, you had options. Options. The problem is, as we get old, options diminish. Hopefully, as the options diminish, wisdom resurrects. But in most cases, that doesn't happen. Go to an old folks' home. The options have diminished and wisdom has diminished more. They're blithering idiots. They're the world's worst idolaters, praying and living in idols of castles of sand, created in their own minds, worshiping things that never can be and never were. They're blithering idiots. They're old idolaters with no options. Look at your grandparents. Options. Do you understand the stupidity of being 93 years old and believing you have options? That's pretty silly, right? You're going to die in 6 months. Oh, but I've got a world of options. I've got a horizon of possibilities.
Choose your own brand of diapers.
I got a letter from my grandmother just a few days ago, who was turning 80. And about every 6 months, she goes and she sells all her things in a house or whatever, wherever she is, and she'll go back to California, where she remembers at a time during the war, and she expects to find it there, and then things either fall through, or she just sees that she's really unhappy, and the family in Kentucky will make sure that she gets back, and they find a new place, and she does this like twice a year,
yeah.
And she's getting older, and now they're telling her you're getting old, and if you're way out there's nobody there that can be there for you, and you're trying to, I guess, trying to point out that you don't have any options.
You don't have any options.
That world is not existent and never will. But she just can't hear it.
My grandmother had a series of strokes on my mother's side, and she can no longer go to the bathroom or feed herself. But she comes around every now and then, you know, and she wants to go to New Jersey. And she's been really...
She's out of it.
She is really smart about this.
Does she get money? I'll take her.
Yeah,
you don't want to take her, Harry.
I'll be a male nurse.
Yeah, anyway, so she's been really adamant about going to New Jersey. She really wants to go to New Jersey. My sister said, just tell her she had a good time.
Oh, my God. Show her some pictures.
Yeah, show her some pictures. Take some pictures up there and tell her she had a good time.
But it's funny, that's sick.
It's true.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
She's going.
Daryl Blaine to Finner.
Options. Options.
My grandmother really wants me to ride her back. I really want to, but I just don't know.
Tell her the truth.
Granny, you're getting old. Give it up.
Thank God your options are diminished. Now, possibly, as the options are diminished, you have the possibility of hearing the universal truth, the Word of God. You have the option of stopping believing the lie.
What if you understand, though, that your options are ceasing and you don't have the cooperation of your children?
What?
Then you say, you can tell your children where to go.
Get out of your face.
Tell your children to get out of your face.
That's not what I'm talking about. The option, I'm a little over 100 miles away from here, and they're all in this area. And now that my husband's gone, the more the days roll around, I feel like, you know, I need to make a change. I don't want to, but I feel like that I should get rid of my home down there and move back up here to where it would be.
So you're near.
Yeah, to where I would be closer to them. And,
yeah, because
they're gradually coming around, but they haven't all completely come around to the fact that I should sell my home.
Never liked you.
I should sell my home and move back up this way. Not that I really, really relish that. I love it down there. But I realize that there's going to come a time when something has to be done. And I want to do it before that time comes to where it would be such a hardship on them, because they would have to move me instead of me moving myself.
Yeah,
so I would like for you to make that a matter of prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
See, before, and when life is simpler, and
it's never been a hardship.
When you're younger, then it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you're not so fit, you think that's a lousy idea.
And you think, you know, the only stop and think where is the only place that we know of where the concept of survival of the fittest isn't true.
Is it true?
Here.
That'd be it.
That's it.
This is the only place that I know of where survival of the fittest isn't true, because this is the only community I know of where violence isn't rewarded, and violence and survival of the fittest go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Either psychic violence.
Cannibalism.
I mean, you know, survival or abiding, you know, if you're fit, you're always going to want to go somewhere else. If you're not fit, you have to stay.
I think about all these kids graduating from high school now. Tommy's niece just graduated last night. For me, anyway, that was the time when there were the most options. You know, life was, you go to this college, major in this or this, you know, go to this town or this town. And it's like, I wouldn't go back to that for anything. Cause it just, and that's the time when I was most depressed when I came here, ironically. Probably not ironically. But it's just weird, you know? It's like the options options are a prison in most cases.
Yeah,
try to choose the right
options. They're just confusing.
The top bunk and the bottom bunk.
Yeah, who's my roommate going to be? What am I going to lose?
Well, again, we have a common denominator here in that we saw that life was for the survival of the fittest, and we saw we weren't fit.
Yeah, we had to find someplace really different.
There you go.
Amen. The only reason this group exists and the only reason we're here is because I found out I wasn't fit. I wasn't working out.
It wasn't working.
And I tried Babylon and it didn't work. I really used to wish that Babylon would have worked for me. Because I think I could have been a good evangelist.
Could have been a contender.
Huh?
I could have been somebody.
I could have been somebody.
Instead of a bum, that's what I am.
I could have been somebody instead of this bum.
I hate to tell you this, but that governor for Jesus idea is nauseous.
He's waited like 10 years to say that.
Never would have worked. Yeah.
And that's really gross.
I've thought about it. I thought it through.
You found out you weren't fit. Then what happens?
Get old man.
No, you find out you weren't fit. Then what happens? Then you think, okay, now God's going to make it all better. No. Then the plagues start.
Unfair.
I know. I'll fake it.
Then you fought manipulation, compulsion, oppression, anger.
Every once in a while, I think about Bob Cominati, and I get sort of jealous. Tilton's, he's in charge of all Tilton's production.
Oh, Harry.
Oh,
you're so silly.
I didn't say it wasn't silly.
It's like the grandmother wants to go to New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you go join the grandmother that wants to go to New Jersey? You guys can have
really
it.
I don't really want to do it. It's just every once in a while, I think.
You make it tell it's nice.
If you say it.
It's nice.
But through the plagues, you were driven to Christ. But what happened then? The first thing that happened with Christ is you started to mix him with other stuff. Right? You try to mix the old, I'm going to have a nice family for Jesus.
Spiritual bartender.
I'm going to raise good children.
I'm going to raise good children for Jesus. And look what happened.
That didn't work. I don't know.
I can't imagine my mom being in a Bible study. It must be.
My mother would be going, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Right on. You're looking at my kid, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm working on it,
Mom.
I know, darling.
He was a good kid.
He was such a good kid.
You have came a long way.
Now, in this process, in the world, some see themselves still in the house of bondage, waiting, hoping God will fix their lives. Others have gotten under the Passover blood, but are still cowering in fear, waiting for something else to take place. Others have left the house. They're on the way to the Red Sea, but they still see Pharaoh and his armies chasing them. Hi, Burnett. Others see Pharaoh and his armies judged in the Red Sea behind them. But others then see themselves in the wilderness at the waters of Marah in a state of bitterness and confusion. And still others see the cross thrown into those waters and made the waters sweet. And others see themselves at Sinai waiting for the law in the tabernacle, waiting, wanting to know what to do. What shall I do? It means you're waiting for the law. Others see themselves after the law in the tabernacle, still in the wilderness, still trying to get it right. Do anybody recognize themselves yet?
Several places.
Now, I thought if you were in the wilderness, then you had no options.
Others are complaining in the wilderness, sometimes wishing they would go back to the world.
Yes.
Sometimes thinking they should go back to the world. Others are resting in Kadesh Barnea, thinking and mistaking that for the promised land. Kadesh Barnea is the sanctuary in the wilderness. That's where Israel spent 39 years of the 40.
Going around and around.
No.
They only traveled
for 1 year. They stayed there at Kadesh Barnea for 39 years. Others see themselves in the promise, but outside the wall. Others finally see themselves in the temple at the altar. But none of us yet see ourselves at the altar of incense. None of us see ourselves at the table of the showbread. None of us at the candlestick. None of us at the mercy seat. Let's get there quickly. Means that you understand that every thought that you have is a prayer, and it's a prayer to Him, and you need to stop judging your own thoughts. Paul is Jesus. Paul is his completed work. But it's all completed. He's already done the whole trip, the whole thing. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This book of the Bible, this Bible is a metaphor for the process that's inexorable. It has to take place in all men. But all is dependent on our apprehension. Test of any stimulus along the path, along the way, along this incredible journey is the test. Is it finished? If what witness you're hearing, the spirit that's hearing, whatever is speaking to you, if it's your mind or any external influence, if it is not declaring that it is finished to you, then move on. It's telling you the wrong thing. It may be good. It may be real good, it may be worthwhile, but if it isn't declaring and speaking to you from eternity that it is finished, move on, leave it behind, because it's only there as a deception to keep you from the mercy seat. And therefore, no matter how good or how wonderful or how beautiful it is, if it isn't declaring it is finished, it's hiding the truth, and it's a lie from the depths of hell. Doesn't matter if it's family or friends or cause or purpose or goal or ambition. If it isn't declaring to you it is finished, it's less than the truth. And if it's less than the truth, it's from the depths of hell. Understand me? Prayer in the world, but a believer in the world, is asking. Prayer in the wilderness is confusion. Prayer in the land is anticipation. And prayer on the mercy seat is affirming. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you. The distance from the world to the mercy seat is that much. But to get from the world to the mercy seat cost you everything. It cost you your life, your friends, your dreams, your ambition, your family, your children, your mother, your father, it cost you everything. But it's that quick because he has completed the way. And any righteous concern that you think you have for all of those things that you didn't want to give up, your concern for them is only keeping them from coming to the mercy seat. I couldn't give up my children, then you're keeping them from going to the mercy seat. Oh, I couldn't give up this cause, then you're keeping them from going to the mercy seat. That's why Jesus said, let's look at some of this nice man, this great teacher, let's see what this great, great, wonderful man teacher had to say to us. Just listen. Luke. This man called Jesus, Luke 14, verse 26, says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Going down to 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Now, all that he hath, let me tell you, with regard to material possessions, that's the easy part. It's all here, all of the ideas, opinions, plans, ambitions, goals that he hath cannot be the disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? And if you are the salt of the earth and you've lost a component of eternity in your life, then you have lost your savor and you are not fit for anything but to be cast into the dunghill. The definition that you've lost your savor, you've lost the component of eternity, is if you are giving breath to something in time. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's get to the mercy seat. Amen?
Amen.
That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. Okay, take a big guy.